Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's Paul Hamilton after last night's Sabres win. Taking your calls on, Brandon Bean's comments. We'll get to Sal at 7:30. Joe Marino, the Draft Network at 8, so plenty of Bills to come. And Paul here on the Sabres.
Currently looking for a website to find the NHL standings by points percentage.
Okay.
Just so I can look at the Sabres in a playoff spot. Just to see it.
Paul, do you have what? Website favorites? Are you re-bookmarking NHL.com?
I think he's NHL.com.
/ standings. I mean, we've got standings to watch.
Yeah, the NHL.com. If you go to team stats, you won't actually get the standings, but they'll give you the teams in point percentage in order.
Look at this, Paul.
Okay.
Coming through right
for you. That's right. I'm doing it right now.
There you go.
There it is. Eighth place.
So just go to team stats.
All right.
Perfect. Paul, it's the 17th time they've scored 5 goals, which leads the league. And I don't know. It feels like a familiar refrain for this Sabres team, which is, in the words of Don Granato, I've heard you say it too, they outscore their problems.
Yeah, you outscore your mistakes, and you win a hockey game. And, we talked about this schedule before it started back in the first home Minnesota game to start March. It's basically Minnesota game through Minnesota game, where it's just one of the hardest schedules I've ever seen as far as playing games, 12 and 23 days. And, you saw it in St. Louis. I mean, they came out fast. They were playing well. They have a 4-0 lead. They're 24 minutes into the game. And then all of a sudden, it's like St. Louis starts chipping away at it. And, Buffalo, you could just tell, they weren't dead yet as far as energy, but it was starting to wear on them as they had a game the night before, a tough game against the Dallas Stars. But unlike teams in the past, we've talked about probably 10 years in the past, they found a way, they gutted it out. It's okay, we're not feeling real good right now, but Don Granato always says you're not always going to feel great, but that doesn't mean you can't win the hockey game. That doesn't mean that you have to lose just because you're starting to get fatigued or you're starting to get that. And it wasn't fatigue right away. Granato, after the game, talked about they got in a few bad habits too. Just they got a little fancy, I think that's the way he put it. But then it became they got tired. And here you are in the third period. Now it's only a goal. And that's when Lukanen steps up and makes big saves at big times for them, especially on Tarasenko. Tarasenko had to be shaking his head. He had like 4 golden opportunities in that period, and Lukanen was there at every turn against him. And they found a way. They just gutted it out and, got the – and, example of somebody who will do anything to win a hockey game, look at what Dylan Cousins did on the empty net goal.
Yeah. Cousins is
just the effort that he put in on that empty net goal to put it away.
Paul, you've been really high on Cousins pretty much since he showed up. We opened the show, and one of the things I said to Joe was that this Sabres team, there's a similarity I see between the 05-06, and it's not about like how they play. It's the number of players that could make a case for being someone's favorite player. And like Cousins to me jumps out about that last night. His play, he is consistently smart, skilled, determined, works hard. Like, man, Dylan Cousins is a gem of a hockey player. Not that it was in much doubt. I mean, he's a high pick, but he is really putting it all together right now.
Remember we were talking about, well, last year it was Thompson. Who might be the guy this year? And Cousins was the first guy I went to. And I said, I don't know if he's going to score 38 goals. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, as a guy that maybe, you know, it's going to be his time maybe to pop out. And not that he wasn't good before, but he just keeps getting better. Look at him at faceoffs. Now they put him out for faceoffs all the time, and he does a pretty good job of winning them. When they need a faceoff one, and he couldn't do that a year ago. He wasn't good enough at it. But he just works at it, and he works at it. And he gets angry if he's not improving at it. And just something like that, how much better he is at faceoffs than he was even a year ago, just by putting his mind to it that I'm going to get better at that because I want to be the guy. I want to be the person in overtime that Granato puts over the board to say, all right, we need to win the faceoff because we have to have possession. And that's exactly what they do now. And he wins it almost every time. And it's just his mindset.
And how about that line as a whole? I mean, Quinn and Paterka, like, they don't usually see the ice late in games, and they'll put Cousins on a different line. So it's not always the full game, but I don't want to say Cousins is carrying them, but is it almost more impressive that Cousins is having this season with two rookies on his line?
I think you could say he was carrying them for most of the year. I mean, when they were going good, you know, he was going good also with them. And, even though they are struggling somewhat, he's not, they find other ways to get him out there. And, you know, he'll be one of the reasons why those two, I think, get going again. You know, I think they will. You know, I think Paterka and Quinn are good hockey players. I really do. And just because they're rookie of the year, there are times where they're struggling a little bit. Yeah. They are, but, you know, I think there are going to be times again this year where the puck's going to start going into the net for them. It's not now, but I think it will, and I think that's going to be a good line for them for years to come, once all three of them are, accustomed to the NHL, let's put it to that, like that.
On Cousins, Paul, I don't know if we should be on, like, contract watch, but he's the next player they're going to soon identify as cornerstone piece, right? Like this, it's a matter of time. I see projections for 7 years and whatever it might be. But I'd imagine that's high in the list of things for Kevin Adams to do.
Well, Boldy's different because he's a winger, but he just got a contract with Minnesota, the same draft. And So I remember as soon as I saw the contract, I tweeted out, I go, is this Dylan Cousins' next contract?
Is that 7-for-7, I think, that Boldy got? Yeah.
It was.
And he does not have the same product, like 33 points this year, 14 goals. Like, at least offensively, Paul, he got that deal. And Cousins, I mean, he's far beyond that right now.
And Cousins is a center.
Right.
So, but I don't know. Does Cousins get more than Tage Thompson? Because if you inch that contract up too much more, now you put him past Tage Thompson. And the thing is, it's not – if you're Cousins' agent, you can say, well, it's not our fault that Tage Thompson accepted a deal that he's going to outgrow probably by next year, you know, type of a thing. That's what Tage Thompson does. That's his business. You know, we're looking at what we want to do right here. So – you know, that's the thing. If you're the Sabres, do you want to get Dylan Cousins past Tage Thompson? Because this isn't where you can renegotiate. You can't say, well, we're going to give Thompson. It's not like the NFL where, all right, well, we'll redo the contract to get so-and-so like Stephon Diggs as a wide receiver. Well, we'll redo the contract to get him up with the other wide receivers. So you can't do that. There's no renegotiating contracts in the NHL.
There might not be anything to this, Paul, but I wonder your thoughts on it. The Sabres have, if I'm doing my math right here, the second highest win percentage on the road, third highest, in the Eastern Conference. Boston and New Jersey are better. But the Sabres are 14-7-1 on the road and 11-12-2 at home. Is there anything to that? Would you just chalk that up to randomness? What do you think?
They do well when it's exciting. And they play in they've won in some exciting buildings. Boston, Colorado, you know, Dallas, you know, places that are rocking, you know, and you know, of course, their building. You know, they're so much better when it's a big night and there are a lot of people there. And, you know, they just do so much better with that. It's hard to explain, and it's something they realize. It's something they realize with the young team that, you know, they've got to get the young team to understand, all right, if there's only 12,000 in the building for this game, and they're kind of waiting for you to be the guys that you know, to fire them up, you know, type of thing. You know, you have to be able to play with that also. And, you know, that's where, you know, you're going to get a team that needs to learn. And, you know, they, again, that's something, you know, they'll learn as they go along and they'll get better at as they go along. So, you know, that's, you know, something they're going to have to do. And if you would like, never mind. I was going to tell you, yeah, points percentage for on the road. The Sabres are eighth in the NHL, 6.59. I was looking that up as we were talking. So right now they have their eighth best on the road in the National Hockey League with a 6.59 points percentage. 6.59. I mean, that's great. If they, can you imagine if they just were average at home? Just average, average record at home.
Do you
where
know
where they would be right now? That would be another 8 or so points onto their record.
You say, like, they do well when it's exciting in some of these other buildings. Do you know the splits of their record at home based on attendance?
I think I saw this last night.
Here you go, Paul. This is your stat of the day. Sabermetrics on Twitter put this together. When the attendance in the arena is 17,000 or more, the Sabres are 5-2. And when it's 17,000 or less, they are 6-10-2.
Yep. There you go.
So you're like, the point about how they get up for the big games, it's kind of like, all right, Sabres fans,
get in the building.
do your part for the playoff stretch, because they do. You said it on the road. It's true at home. They play better in front of big crowds. They maybe that is a sign of a young team. I thought last night was an example, Paul, when it goes from 4-0 to 4-3. I thought, all right, if they lose this game, we're going to come in and talk about they're young. You know, like, sometimes that's going to happen to young teams. You'll talk about the playoffs are a process. You got to grow. They don't. I mean, they ultimately win the game, but, you know, they're Granato's constantly walking that line between a team that's young, how hard to be on them when they make mistakes, versus a team that is really stepping into, hey, it's time to get the job done and win games. And maybe that attendance number at home is something about it, that they just play, what, they play freer, looser, more energetic when they've got a full building at home.
Yeah, where I would have gone had they lost that game is this schedule this year, this week, this month. You know, even this week, you know, the four game, they're playing four games this week to finish off this hard schedule. It is a thing. I mean, to me, it's really the only reason why that game got close last night is because of the schedule. But, you know, with this group of guys, they're not always going to find a way to win, but they do a lot. They do a lot more than they used to. A lot more than they used to. They find a way to, hey, we're going to win. Now, it's kind of funny, you know, we're talking about their road record and their home record. I thought the road record, when I was going to look it up, was going to be better. Points percentage, I thought they were going to be like in the top three. In the home record, I thought they were going to be worse. They're 24th. And they're with a 480 points percentage, which actually the team they played, the St. Louis Blues, are right under them. I actually thought they were going to be right at the bottom of the league when it came to the home record. So they're not quite. You know, they are 24th, but still, it's something that needs to be better. As I said, if it was just average, they would, you know, this race wouldn't even be a race right now. They'd be entrenched in it right now.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline on the Sabres. So next up, Winnipeg, and we're watching the standings. We're talking about three games out, three games in hand. I don't know, Paul. Like things are good. You know, things are good. This schedule has been a lot of work for them, and I wonder, you know, what you think they should do. There are now rumors out there about trades. About, I mean, Jacob Chychrun's name has been out there for a long time. Timo Meier's name shows up last night. Pierre LeBrun reporting the Sabres would be after Timo Meier in San Jose. So, you know, I know we often talk about Kevin Adams not going to go crazy, but do you think that if they were in this spot by deadline day, that he might want to say, yeah, I can spend a little bit of an asset, not go crazy, but catch a little bit of the fever and try and get this thing into the playoffs?
Well, look at ages. If you're talking about somebody who's 28 or 29, that's different than if you're talking about somebody who's 25 or 26. 25, you know, he's looking for somebody that not only is going to help now, but is going to help down the road. Chychrun would fit that bill. Offhand, I don't know how old he is. I know he's in that range.
Yeah. Timo Meier's 26.
Yeah. There's a guy that can help you for a while. You know, and that's the type of trade he's looking. That's the type of trade he would give up assets for, I think, is getting a player like that. So, but if you're talking about, let's say, a guy who scores goals like Jeff Skinner, but is Jeff Skinner's age, that's not the trade he's going to make. It's just not. He's not going to give up a bunch of assets to pull that player in as a rental or a guy that's going to be here for a year or something like that. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for the Alex Tuch move. You know, a guy that's, you know, Alex Tuch arrived here when he's 25 years old and is going to be a big part of this team for years to come. You know, that's the move he's looking for down the line.
Well, it's going to be exciting. The deadline is a little over a month away, and we'll see where they are by the time that's all said and done.
I was just looking at the Western Conference. You know, here they are. They just beat the Dallas Stars, who lead the Western Conference in Dallas. The top three in the Central, Colorado, they've won in Colorado. The team who is third in the Western Conference, Vegas, they've won in Vegas. You know,
yeah.
Now it's time to head to Winnipeg, who right now are number two in the Western Conference and have just beaten you in Buffalo. In the wild card, Edmonton and Calgary are the two wild card teams. They've won in both those places. It's just crazy.
It's pretty good.
They won in Boston. I mean, honestly, I'm almost like the 8-game losing streak is going to be the thing for this. Like, if they just miss, it's off. Only I could have got 5 points out of that 16.
Yeah,
they have losses to the Coyotes at home,
the Flyers.
They lost to they lost to Chicago. There's some bad losses in there, but as Paul's pointing out, there's top wins too.
Now, in the Eastern Conference, you look at the playoff teams. They haven't beaten quite as many as them. Boston, of course, is the number one team in the NHL. They've won there. That's a huge win. They've also won in Washington, who right now hold the last wild card position. So they have beaten two of the playoff teams on the road in the Eastern Conference. Western Conference, it seems like they're ripping right through it.
Paul Hamilton. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we've got this.
Does the biggest hurdle to them seemingly making the playoffs, does it even have to do with them, or is it just that it's Crosby and Ovechkin in the two spots that you'd have to jump into?
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's Pittsburgh and Washington, if it were the Islanders in that spot right now, or if it were the Rangers or the Devils even.
Would I feel different?
Would you feel different, right, if the Devils were in eighth?
No, I don't think so.
Pittsburgh, because those two teams, it always just feels like, oh, they'll make it. It's automatic.
That's true. That's fair.
But that doesn't have to be the case anymore, because I know they are both. The Sabres are the youngest team in hockey. I think Pittsburgh's the oldest. I think Washington has got to be up there.
I think you should include Florida here.
I agree.
Even though Florida is tied with the Sabres and behind in games, and they're having not a great year. Last year they won the President's Trophy. I think they're still alive. And MoneyPuck.com puts their odds at the playoffs as the exact same as the Sabres right now.
Yeah. They're the most talented team, I think.
Yeah.
Like, top to bottom. The coach is maybe getting a lot of heat there. And Paul Maurice is only in his first season. But, yeah, a lot of talent.
Aaron Rodgers. I'm looking at all the potential cap implications for the Packers if they trade him. If they trade him after June 1st, it's only a $15 million dead cap hit.
For Green Bay?
Yeah.
And that's when it gets like spread out to a second year?
I believe so, yes. $15 million. If he gets cut, the cap hit is, wait for it, $99 million. Feels like that's not going to happen.
I don't see that happening.
So it's actually the cheapest route for them. The cheapest one is a post-June 1 cut,
yeah.
$15 million, and then, yes, push some into next year. And then, you know.
It is still hefty. It would be, yeah, post-June 1 would be $15.8 million this year and $24.5 million next year.
Okay.
But well, the cap going up would probably
the cap going up, and if you are the Packers, if the Jets are willing to give you, if it's the Jets that he goes to, premium assets, here's the question: should the Jets be willing to trade multiple firsts? They should one is a non. Of course, yes.
You're not even in the room without
yeah,
it.
You can't get in the conversation without saying yes. We'll give you a one. Do they want? What do the Packers want? Three? Do they want two? I mean. Some of these younger quarterbacks, like Deshaun Watson, that trade is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
He's younger. I mean, not that you should have wanted him, but he's younger. With Rodgers, you're thinking how many years if you're the Jets? Two?
2 years. Do you trade a first-round pick per year you have Aaron Rodgers? Are you willing to do that?
You might be, and part of the reason you might be if you're the Jets is you just had a draft where you had a million picks.
And you probably nailed all of them.
You got three drafts worth of stuff in this last draft. Now, you know, play might say that's not a reason to get loose with draft picks, but two first rounders, and if you're the Packers, taking on those big cap hits, the easiest way to get past that and make that make sense is to get additional cheap labor in the form of draft picks.
Yeah. For the Packers, by the way, they're in an interesting spot just because they've burned through the entirety of Jordan Love's rookie contract. So they have to decide. I don't think they're going to do it. They'd have to decide right now if they're going to give him the fifth-year option. He has not played. And he could play this year, and he's a free agent if you don't pick it up. So they're about to move on from Rodgers. Their quarterback they drafted to replace him is now 25 years old, and they've no idea whether or not he's even going to be there past this season.
Well,
I mean, he might not be good at all not matter, but...
Between the Packers, if they do this, the Bears, with all of what they've got, picking first and Justin Fields, and the Lions, who just had a good year, the NFC North could actually be interesting for the first time in a long time. I mean, it's been...
The Lions were interesting, but not for the division.
Right. This year, the Vikings go out and win it in a kind of a fluky year where they win all those one-score games. But for a long time, the NFC North has been... The Packers and maybe another team will finish 500.
Like the Vikings would, there would always be like a Sunday night game, week 12, and the Vikings are two games out.
Yeah. To me, I want to look at, would it give me the Lions to win the NFC North next year? I bet their value is pretty good right now.
I don't think I would want to bet you on that because I kind of like that.
Right?
The Lions to win the NFC? Could they be favored?
The NFC North.
NFC North is what I meant, yeah.
Definitely not favored. They're going to be behind Minnesota. They're going to be behind Green Bay until Rodgers gets traded, if he does. But, man, everybody's just talking Rodgers to the Jets. It's almost like shocking to me how much traction that's getting so early. Sal's on the other side. We'll recap Brandon Bean's press conference and continue talking about the Bills as we kind of look back on what went wrong and where to go from here. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline as we break down Brandon Bean's end-of-season press conference. Good morning, Sal.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. The end-of-season presser, you know, it's Brandon Bean takes a lot of questions, sits and speaks for an awful long time, seems to be, you know, more than happy to answer as many questions as are reasonable to answer. And I wonder if you feel like there was a general tone or a general message to this one, because they're kind of in a spot, you know. They're a good team, they had a bad game, and that's going to leave some questions, of course, going to the postseason. So how did you feel the general tone was?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I took away was him reiterating a couple times that they did have a very bad game, but you can't overreact to one game, and you have to look at the season as a whole. You know, for example, he said, if a player didn't play his best game, but he was a big part of how you got there, you don't throw him out. You got to look at his holistically, is what he said, how they played throughout the whole season. Gave some reasons, you know, for guys might have, you know, had injuries, things like that, but said you have to look at everything. Talked about the offense for some reason, second half of the year just wasn't playing as well. And those are things they're going to have to look at. Mentioned maybe Josh's elbow could have certainly had a little bit of an issue with that, or something to do with that. But I think the biggest thing was saying, you know, you can't overreact to one game. As much as him and Sean McDermott say the last game may tell you who you are, you can't like just say, well, that guy played bad, so, you know, we can't have him on the team anymore. So I thought that part was pretty interesting. And, you know, and I put the article up yesterday with that, and fans didn't like that. They didn't like that. They said you can't overreact to one game. I don't know. I guess that it depends on how you take it. I think they do look at where they are versus the Chiefs and the Bengals now. And he even said that, you know, you have to consider the Chiefs and the Bengals, you know, the top teams in the AFC now. And I think that they understand that they have to get to that level. But I also understand where he's coming from, that you can't take one game where they played their worst game of the season and base all of your evaluation this year on that. There were 18 other games they played, essentially.
Yep. I would agree. You can't overreact to one game. I guess what I would get to, Sal, is My main feel, and I think that a lot of Bills fans, when they talk about what they want to see the team do going forward, it's not overreacting to one game so much as it's reacting to the entire second half of the season, where they won a lot of games. But even being said, offensively, you know, yep. The thing we said a lot was it looks hard for them. And Bean, I don't know that he would necessarily disagree with that general idea that the second half of the season, something wasn't right with their offense.
That's right. And again, he said, for whatever reason, I think the second half of the season, it didn't play out. It didn't all play out every week the way it started early in the season. He started that by saying, I think our offense was really playing well through the bye. So I agree with that. And that's something they're going to have to evaluate and why that is. You know, I always say, I think that whether it's the Bills or any team, once you get through 4 or 5 weeks, other teams start to see you on film. They start to figure you out. They start to adjust to what you do well. Yes, there are, of course, injuries that play into it. Certain matchups, the schedule, of course, right? But I've always believed that the first 4 weeks or so, kind of not who you really are, because who you are to start off, teams start to figure that out, and then they adjust to you, and then it's up to you to make an adjustment. And I don't know if the Bills had a counterpunch to how teams maybe adjusted to them, whatever that was, whatever they did. It's clear that, you know, they do need more weapons. And he didn't go full on, yeah, we need another weapon, I got to go out and get more wide receivers. He didn't do that. I specifically asked him if there's a philosophy against drafting wide receivers in the first round. His answer was, I use a first-round pick on Stephon Diggs. Okay, well, touche, I get you. But I followed up by saying, well, I mean, a younger guy, right, a guy coming in. He said, no, there is none. And then he even said, heck, if Jamar Chase is there at 27, I'll take him, right? So it's got to be the right guy, the right fit. But it wasn't something he said yesterday that, like, hey, this is definitely an area that we're going to have to improve on and we're going to have to go out there and get. Doesn't mean he doesn't believe it. I'm just, He's not going to necessarily tell us that. But it wasn't maybe what people were expecting to hear. Oh, my God, we got to get another weapon for Josh Allen.
No, and he can't exactly – this is how the draft is going to go. You're not going to say, yes, we need to draft a receiver in the first round, because we don't know if they will ultimately do that. The thing about weapons, and Hines' name came up, and this is now both the coach and the GM saying that Nyheim Hines maybe could have and should have been more involved with the offense, that they brought him in to help the offense, and we all know that really didn't happen. So, you know, you could say it takes a while – for somebody like that to get ramped up. I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit of a deflection. And Hines is a cap casualty candidate if they don't restructure himself. They can save like $5 million on his deal. So I'm kind of left in a spot where I'm thinking the offense and the general identity and design, they never really knew what they wanted to be. And they kept throwing running backs at it and then not throwing the ball to the running backs. So I feel like that's where they should really start, is decide what they want to be on offense.
That's a good point. I agree. I think that everyone recognizes this is a quarterback league. It's an offensive league. It's a playmaker league. I mean, Sean McDermott said that the other day. It's a matchup league. Everyone recognizes that. At the same time, their core philosophy is you also have to be good up front. You have to build up front. And I think that when you have that, you're going to want to make sure that you have an offense that can take advantage of that as well, whether that's protecting your quarterback or running the ball. But at the same time there, you know, if you're going to throw the ball all over the place, that means you got to go get weapons. So there are parts of this roster that need to be addressed, and all of that is true. If you just concentrate on getting a couple more weapons for Josh Allen, that's fine. But I think there's a recognition here, too, that they have to get a little better on the offensive line. Their quarterback got beat up this year, not just his injury, by the way. I mean, he was getting beat up a lot this year. He was taking more hits this year. And I think that they're in a spot where they're going to have to kind of prioritize and decide. And that's where you get to what you just said, Jeremy, which is, well, how do you want to do that? Make a commitment one way and figure out this is how you want to do it. This is who you want to be. So then what does that lead you to? Offensive line, wide receiver, slot receiver, running back, whatever that is.
Bean said yesterday, Sal, that there's not going to be a Von Miller signing this offseason. They'll have to work to get under the cap. I mean, Von Miller was a $100 million contract. So
they did say last year there wouldn't be a Von Miller signing.
That was brought up, too, that they also said that last year. So I guess we would all be stunned if they had that high of a deal that they were able to fit in this year. But I don't know, would you leave any wiggle room for a more modest type of free agent signing, or – you know, a name that is going to get the meter going for fans, but is not quite, again, on a Von Miller level.
I always would, Joe. I mean, they're going to have to make moves. He said there have to be a couple restructures probably down the road. He said that right now they're about in the $240 million-ish range of committed salaries for 2023, and the salary cap is going to be in the $220 million-ish range or $230 million-ish range. So I guess I think that if I'm remembering how he said it. So basically you figure, let's just say it's somewhere around 230, give or take. That means they're going to have at least $10 million to come off the cap before they even get under it, before they can do anything. And that doesn't count having extra money. Now, there are restructures. You could even restructure Josh Allen and clear $20 million pretty quickly. You're kicking money down the road, but that's how you do it. That's things that happen. There are other guys like that. There are cap casualties, like you said. They'll get under the cap. Every team has to get under the cap, and they'll have some room. And if they ever want to make a signing, get a big signing, if they see there's a guy and say, oh, my God, we have to have this player, they'll find a way to do it. Every team finds a way to do it. That's how they got Von Miller last year. So, yes, I would always leave room for that. And, you know, they right now, like I post my roster all the time. They have the, you know, they have to be what they have their future signings. So they're over 53 basically now. But you still got to sign like 30 guys to get to 90 in the offseason. So it's a 90-man roster throughout the offseason. You know, there's a long way to go. And, of course, you only count the top 51 salaries. But, yes, I would leave room, Joe, but I just don't think it's going to be easy, and I don't think anybody should expect it to be like, oh, yeah, we have all this money.
We'll get a couple calls in here. Adam in New Jersey. Adam, you're on with Sal.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, so I wanted to talk about two things. One, with the comment that Bean made yesterday about I don't want to suck hard enough to get Jamar Chase, or I feel like that's classic, like, deflection. And in fact, Josh Allen's rookie year, we did suck enough to get someone of that caliber when we picked, I think, eighth or ninth to get Ed Oliver. But he chose to go to the defensive line. Also, the other thing I noticed, after they won that playoff game with the Dolphins, I don't know if you guys noticed this, they always put on social media the locker room and like the winning speech of the locker room and stuff. That speech looked like they lost compared to, and I watch that every week. That looks so different than every other win that they had during the week. If you watched that, you would have thought they lost. I don't know if any of you made that connection.
So I didn't watch it, and if that's your opinion, that's fine. I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. But I will tell you this. It does kind of go in line with what Roger Saffold said.
Yeah.
Roger Saffold said, and I know, fans, you know, I tweeted this quote out the other day, and people just, you know, they want to poo-poo it and make, oh, no, that's an excuse. You know, you say that, I'll tell you, Roger Saffold guys said they needed a break, and they needed a break after that New England game. They need all the emotion, the toll it took on them from DeMar the previous week. They go to the New England game. They don't have any practice. They everything that's going on, worried about their teammate. They go out there and beat New England. They needed a break, and they didn't have it. And suddenly they got to turn around and play a rival playoff game the following week. And he felt, and he basically said, like, they ran out of gas, right? They ran out of gas this week, and they were just trying to fight through every week. For what you're saying, I don't know. I didn't watch the speech. If that's your interpretation, that's fine. But it does go hand in hand with me thinking they were out of gas. And like, hey, they felt like, okay, we got through one here. And they probably also, by the way, they did blow a 17-point lead. And even though they won, I'm sure there were guys that, you know, weren't happy with the way they played. So I don't discount all that he said that, because it goes in line. And, yep, you're right. They took a defensive lineman, number 9 overall that year. I will tell you, though, I do think that... So that was 2019, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And you have every right to criticize if you want. But they did attack wide receiver in free agency that year. That was the year they got John Brown and Cole Beasley. And they figured, I'm sure the thought was, let's supplement our receiver. Let's do free agency receiver and go get what we need in the draft with, you know, this defensive lineman or whoever else they could take. So they did address wide receiver that year. It just wasn't in the draft.
I will also just one other little bit of context. Marquise Brown was the first receiver drafted that year at 25.
So not a great class.
Okay. It was there a great class, okay, because that's, yeah, the A.J. Brown,
D.K. Metcalf,
Debo Samuel in the second round, but yeah, none of those guys would have ever been, I think.
I think the second round is where you might have your gripe. But like I said, sure. I think their philosophy that year was, you know, attack free agency. They had to get weapons for Josh that year. They said, we got a rookie quarterback. We got to get him. Yep. And I don't think they wanted to necessarily have guys grow right there. They were ready to take a jump. So they went out and they signed John Brown and Cole Beasley that offseason.
And I've said this a bunch. I'm sorry if you've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. I really do think they would have taken a receiver in the second round last year, but the run went in front of them. And then they dropped down twice and took James Cook. But I fully believe they would have done it because there were a number of good weapons in there, a number of good ideas. And, you know, as much as we like the idea of get everything you want in the draft, Sal, when you're drafting 27th, you don't run the draft. You know, you react to it as it happens. That's the first round. That's the second round. That's the third round. It was a bit of an odd draft for them, even to that linebacker in the third round. I don't know if every time, you know, I don't mean to make it about fantasy football, but if you've been in a draft before, sometimes you've got all these plans, and then the way that plays out, you come out of it like, all right, well, we went this way instead because this is what the board said. So I don't think they're against receiver. I just think that it didn't fall for them last year, and they ultimately had to pay the price.
Joe and I have even talked about, and I'm sure you guys have discussed it, what if they sign J.D. McKissic and he actually signs?
I don't know.
You know, and James Cook becomes the second pick. Maybe that changes things. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they... I was going to say, I don't know if they throw it to him because they didn't throw it to any running backs.
No, right. I mean, how everything falls after that sequence, right? Because they get him. You don't have to draft James Cook. Maybe it becomes another player. I don't know. There's a lot of hypotheticals there, but yeah.
But it's a good example of, you know, what you do in an offseason isn't exactly always the way you think it's going to go. I'm not sure that they thought they were going to get Von Miller until they made a phone call, and all of a sudden they did. So, you know, your plans are always changing along the way. Let's get another call in here. Colin in Kentucky. Colin, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love the coverage, and I probably feel better about it this morning than I did yesterday after listening to Brandon Bean. You know, I also listened to Sal's great podcast with Matt Bove yesterday, and they were talking about how, you know, I think Matt was saying that he thought some of the big needs are obviously wide receiver and then fortifying both the offensive and defensive lines. And I completely agree with that. I mean, this idea of getting weapons for Josh, offensive weapons, wide receiver, that's so important. But then I listened to Bean, and I just wasn't left with that kind of confidence. There was a lot of discussion about, well, Gabe Davis, you know, did pretty well, and Spencer Brown, and we're up against the cap, and it just didn't feel like he exuded a lot of confidence, or at least got it in the sense that, you know, when I listen to all of you, all these great commentators have this great coverage about, hey, we've got to make the next step. Look at what Cincinnati has. I didn't hear that from him. I was hoping that he would come in and say, you know, we really had a great season. We were obviously up against a ton of adversity. I'm really proud of our guys. But I get it. I get that we need to load up on offense and really give Josh a bunch of weapons. And yes, we're up against the cap, but we're going to do some restructures and we're going to look at the draft and we are going to, you know, put our head down and really, really focus on making that jump. And instead, I was just kind of left with just this uneasy feeling like maybe they can't even run it back with the team they have given the cap problems. And it just didn't leave me with a lot of confidence. And I understand that they're going to kind of continue with the guys they have with the coordinators. And I actually don't have a problem with that. If I just felt like they were exuding the same kind or expressing the same kind of needs that I think a lot of the smart commentators like you all have been mentioning. I just wish there was more of, you know, like an alignment there.
Well, Colin's calling us all really smart, so thank you, Colin.
Yeah, there you go. Colin, I would just be a little careful of reading too much into these kinds of things where the GM isn't going to come out and kind of call out his own team or be careful about that. He's going to exude a lot of the, you know, really good virtues of a lot of these players, and whether it's Spencer Brown,
I was just
going to
say,
and,
yeah, so
yeah,
Spencer Brown
is
a great example of this, where he talked about what Spencer Brown has been through, and they still like him, but we're going to bring in competition. So I would say, yeah, pretend the answer about Spencer Brown is about Gabe Davis or is about, you know, the slot receiver position, because I think that the fact that they had two guys on the practice squad they had to elevate down the stretch to be regular contributors in their passing offense, there's no way. I'm going to knock on wood, but there's no way they're going to neglect it this offseason.
No, I don't think so either. So I understand. I think these settings, though, too, you know, you got to remember, too, Brandon Bean, everybody in that building is a highly, highly competitive person, and they want to win a Lombardi trophy. They do. And everything he said and everything Sean McDermott said is They're not going to stop until they do. Like, they're not going to rebuild suddenly. He even said, by the way, I will tell you, Colin, he did say, I think Colin was the name, right? Yeah. He did say, Colin, that, you know, this isn't like, well, if we don't win in 23 or 24, we're going to shred the roster in 25. And one thing I really liked that he said was, no, that's not going to happen around here. We're trying to win every year. We're going to keep going every year. And we have, because I think someone asked about the window with Josh, and he's basically like, hey, whether it's about Josh or not, we're just going to keep going for this. So I don't get that. But so let's remember, too, that they are highly disappointed as well. And when he speaks to the media, it's literally 48 hours fresh off what happened against Cincinnati. So it's not going to sound warm and fuzzy. It's not going to sound really joyful. And if you took that away, I understand. But I want to keep it in context as well.
And then, Sal, quickly, because we're late to the break here.
Yes.
Of the guys that we talk about contract-wise, I feel like Edmonds, Poyer, Singletary, to some extent, we all still are kind of wondering about what will happen this offseason. Did it sound like we got clarity on Ed Oliver that it at least is not going to happen this offseason? Isn't that the way Bean sounded to you?
He flat out said he wants more from him, pretty much.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and listen to the phrasing, but I think that's right. Yes, that is correct. Like, something along those lines is what he said. I got the feeling that they would really, and I don't think this is a surprise, they want to try and keep Tremaine Edmonds for his age, his growth, and what he means. And they would like to keep Jordan Poyer, but that's going to be dictated more on where the numbers fall, salary cap wise, and having discussion down the road. So, yes, I think to me, after hearing it, my interpretation is Tremaine would be number one priority to try and get that done if they can. Let's see what happens with Jordan. I'm going to wait on Ed Oliver.
The phrase on Oliver was they expect him to find a little bit more.
There you go.
Which is it?
Well, Joe, hey, I tell you, Jeremy, I know we're up to against the break. I had a trade idea yesterday. I don't know if Joe told you. I don't know if you heard it. I had a trade. I'm never the trade idea guy.
He
I don't do that.
He had
right?
a good one.
I'm ready.
I'm never the trade idea guy. Ed Oliver's making $10 million base salary next year. They need to find a little more. He also was, you know, he's not, to me, isn't exactly what you need right there is that undersized penetrator, especially in games like that. You need weapons on offense.
Wait. I want to guess. Are you sending him to Houston?
No, I'm sending him to maybe somewhere where there's a receiver coming off year three who wants to get paid.
Jerry Judy.
Jerry Judy, Deebo Samuel. I'm not Deebo. I'm sorry. Brandon Ayuk. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman, although I know he's had some injuries. Or you want to go the other route, a little older. I know Tyler Lockett's a little older. DJ Moore still could be in the conversation there.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like a guy who you can swap out the salary and then have to pay a little more. But those guys ending year three always kind of, there's a lot of guys who want to get paid after that. And maybe there's a team that says, we're not paying you, like the Tennessee Titans did with A.J. Brown and traded him to Philly.
All right. Hey, I'm into it. I'm open to all
there
of it.
There you go.
Thanks, Sal. You're on Today Extra Point Show with Joe. We'll be listening.
Yep.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Joe Marino at the top of the hour. We got to get a quick break in between. Tyler Lockett, man, that was a great idea last year when the rumors were he could hit the trade market. He is a fantastic receiver and would be a fantastic fit. Okay. We'll get a break in. Joe Marino as well. It's all coming up.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Quick in and out here. We got Joe Marino of Locked On Bills and the Draft Network coming up next. Pantera is coming to Darien Lake with special guest Lamb of God on August 9th. Tickets go on sale Friday, January 27th at LiveNation.com. New this season, oversized parking passes will be required at Darien Lake Amphitheater. So if you are used to taking a bus or a limo or your buddy's RV to shows at Darien Lake, make sure you purchase a parking pass for the oversized lot at LiveNation.com.
Dig into the Bills with Joe Marino next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.